Dan Brotman is on the line. He is my next guest. He's a travel and migration journalist. He traveled, of all places, to Venezuela. Dan Brotman, great to have you with me. You outdid yourself this time.
It's good to be back, Simon.
Dan, Venezuela is not exactly the number one place on my list of places I want to most visit, specifically having seen about 7 million Venezuelans try and leave the country under Chavez. What did you find there? What did you see, and just how bad is it?
So, first of all, I had tried to visit Venezuela several times in the past, and every time I was about to visit, something went wrong. So the last time I was meant to go, election violence broke out. I was meant to visit a few days after the election, and the road to and from the airport was completely blocked, and I would have had no way of getting out of the airport. So that trip was aborted. Okay. And basically what happened was, since the 3rd of January, when Nicolas Maduro was taken to the U.S. with his wife, the country is kind of in transition, and it's becoming more and more orientated towards the U.S. And I realized that, you know, they've had stability for many months now, and if I was ever going to visit, this was the time to go. So with only 3 or 4 days' notice, I booked a ticket and flew to Caracas.
I find it amazing, because we had all heard about how bad things were, how medicines were not available, how the economy had crashed. Then Chavez gets removed, at least Maduro gets removed, and we've heard nothing. We've just heard nothing. Are things getting noticeably better? Are people surviving somewhat more easily?
I think it's a mixed bag. And again, I wrote an article that's coming out in the South African Jewish Report this week about my experience in Venezuela, and also comparing the Jewish communities and the situation in Venezuela to South Africa, because they are somewhat analogous, but also somewhat different. I mean, I would say a few things are different in Venezuela right now. First of all, when we think Caracas, we think one of the most dangerous cities in the world. While it's certainly not a safe city, it's become a lot safer than it used to be. They don't have the kidnappings anymore like they used to. You know, I walked around certain areas at night. I actually felt it was safer than Johannesburg.
Interesting.
So Caracas is noticeably safer now. And I asked people why, and they said because the criminals left the country. They all went to the U.S. and to other parts of Latin America. So the worst of society left the country.
Okay.
And it is noticeably safer. What's interesting, I mean, this is, again, where I think a lot about South Africa and Venezuela, is 80% of the Jewish community of Venezuela has emigrated since the 90s. And in South Africa, it's 60%.
Dan, just go back a step. Tell me, what kind of numbers were we ever talking about? What are we talking about now? I've got no sense of the Jewish community in Venezuela at all.
Sure. The Jewish community at its peak was about 25,000. So again, much smaller than the South African Jewish community, but it was known as being really one of the most vibrant Jewish communities in Latin America. Up until the 1970s, Venezuela was one of the 20 wealthiest countries in the world. In fact, it was wealthier than France and Greece.
Wow.
Sorry, not France and Greece. I believe Spain and Greece, excuse me. It was wealthier than many Southern European countries. It's a petrostate, so I mean, it was one of the top oil producers in the world. And it was truly a prosperous country. So many, many Jews after World War II moved to Venezuela. And then in the 1960s, a lot of Moroccan Jews after the Six-Day War from northern Morocco, which was Spanish-speaking, you know, places like Tangiers and Tetuan, they relocated to Venezuela, which then made the community 50% Sephardic. So most people in the Jewish community are either, you know, maybe first or second generation Venezuela. So I would say they're different from South African Jews, and that South African Jews have really been in the country, you know, 3 or 4 generations. Venezuelan Jews have only been in the country for 1 or 2 generations. But they are similar in that they experienced huge political transitions, economic transitions, and mass emigration. There are more South African Jews living out of the country than in the country today. And the same can certainly be said about Venezuelan Jews.
And we left with what, a community of between what, 4,000 and 6,000, I'm guessing?
Yeah, they don't have exact numbers, but I would guess if, yeah, I think that would be a correct range. And again, I mean, I think what's, yeah.
No, I'm just wondering if that number is significant enough to sustain Jewish life. Can it support Jewish institutions, the country club, the shuls, the kosher butcheries, whatever is needed for a Jewish community?
Well, I think it's the same question for South Africa. I mean, I think in Venezuela, they had so much Jewish infrastructure. I mean, I've really never seen anything like it. In Latin America, Jewish culture revolves around the country club. So whether it's Peru, Ecuador,
Yes,
Brazil,
it's so.
they have the most incredible Jew. They have these compounds that often consist of, on the compound, you'll have sports facilities, schools, restaurants. So basically, you could just go to the compound and like spend your entire day there, especially on a Sunday. The whole community would go there. That is a little bit different than South Africa. But yeah, there's a huge issue because they have these enormous shuls, enormous country club, and they have a community that's now just 20% of what all this infrastructure was built for. And I visited these enormous, enormous shuls that were closed over the last year or two. They had a preschool that I saw, which they had to close because they don't have enough children. And so it's this big question around, right sizing communities. And what do you do? What do you do when your community becomes noticeably smaller? I think South Africa actually does a very good job. I know Victory Park recently closed. I spent a lot of time with the Jewish community in Pretoria, and they've constantly been downsizing their synagogues. But I think what was really interesting also is, who stays and who leaves, and I think it's
Exactly.
relevant to South
Yes.
Africa too. So what I found is that the people who stay, and tell me if this sounds familiar, are people who have family businesses. So some of them have family businesses that they simply cannot replicate elsewhere, or they're making a lot of money in Venezuela. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum are people who are elderly or people who cannot afford to leave the country.
Interesting.
And so, which also means that there's so many more people now in the community in need and a much smaller donor base. And the middle is really who immigrates. So most of back in the day, the children, and this is also where South Africa, I think, is in better shape, but we need to watch it. In Venezuela, people used to go to university in the country. The universities were good. And what happened was, as the quality of the universities deteriorated, everyone who could would basically send their children out of the country for university, and then the children really wouldn't come back. And I think in South Africa, there are universities that are still of good enough quality. And I think that when children study in the country, there's a much higher chance that they're going to stay afterwards. But the minute you have a culture and a community where everyone has to send their children overseas to study because there are not good enough options locally, that's really when the very, very accelerated decline begins. So that's sort of what's happened in Venezuela.
Given Trump's little exercise there and taking out the top guy, is there sort of green shoots or people talking about some sort of an optimism going forward, or is it a bit of a lost cause?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is optimism. I mean, basically what I heard from a lot of people is, it can't get worse than it's already been. So it's like basically like it's only up from here. I mean, I think they experienced one of the worst economic crises in history, modern history. The state it was became one of the most dangerous places to live in the world. And so I think basically now people feel like it can only get better from here. What I did find interesting is I went to a Shabbat dinner in Caracas where everyone at the dinner was under the age of 35. And
Interesting.
they all went to study mostly in the US for university and made the deliberate choice to return to Venezuela after university. And it was interesting speaking to them about why they decided to return. It was a mixed bag. So it was either people who had large family businesses that they joined, or it was people who are actually working remotely. So meaning, they're working for an American or a Panamanian company, they're earning dollars, and they're just doing it from Caracas because that's where their family is. But basically, no one looks for work locally. Which I thought was very interesting. And when I asked them about why, you know, why did you decide to return? They said, because this is the best country. We love this country. I think it was really around patriotism. It was a very, very warm community. I mean, I experienced more hospitality in Caracas in 4 days than I did in Montreal over the past 9 months.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very cohesive, warm community. I think very influenced by Latin culture. And again, I would say in the English speaking world, that's kind of like South Africa. It's also the warmest English speaking Jewish community I've ever come across. But Jews are constantly on the move. And I think that Jews are allergic to instability, whether it be political or economic. And very unfortunately, these very, very special communities like South Africa and Venezuela shrink. And then the question is, how does a community sustain itself when it gets so much smaller? How do you keep young people in the country? And I think that, you know, what's really interesting is that these young Venezuelan Jews are able to insulate themselves from the economy by working remotely. And something that I wonder with younger South African Jews is, in the future, might they be in South Africa working remotely, earning a stronger currency, and that's how they'll be able to stay, rather than having to look for work, with a somewhat turbulent economy and a weak currency.
Dan, I'm out of time, but I'm certainly going to look out for your article in the South African Jewish Report. Sounds absolutely fascinating. Thanks for chatting to us here on Chai FM.